God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Thank you for tuning in to our show. This is Pastor Larry, and this is your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. Recently, President Trump decided to rescind the Obama administration's affirmatively furthering fair housing rule, which puts pressure on suburbs to construct more low-income, high-density housing in their communities. Democrats still see the suburbs as racially homogenized white enclaves. Yet according to demographer Joel Kotkin and urban studies professor Alan Berger, 151 million Americans live in the suburbs compared with only 25 million in urban cores. A majority of African Americans in America's 100 largest metropolitan areas live in the suburbs. Their studies show that more Hispanics have been moving to the suburbs than whites, and the Asian population in suburban areas is growing nearly twice as fast as that of Asians living in the inner city cores. A 2015 Rasmussen poll of likely voters found 83% of respondents agreeing that it's not the government's job to diversify neighborhoods so that people of different income levels live together. Nevertheless, Biden is running on a beefed-up Obama-era diversity rule. It incorporates New Jersey Senator Cory Booker's proposal to make federal surface transportation grants to communities contingent on their compliance with federal inclusive zoning mandates. Not a good idea. Thank you for tuning in to Southwest Radio Church. This is where we tell it like it is, even if it is politically incorrect. Truth is quite often very unpopular to the carnal mind. But the carnal mind is not our standard, the Word of God is. How foolish utopian dreamers are. They plan to build a kingdom via a human world government and a one world religion. That's not going to work. Our guest today is Mac Dominic. He is doing a series of DVDs under the general title of Are We Building the Kingdom of God? In these sessions with Mac Dominic, we're going to be talking about Volume 4 of the series, Are We Building the Kingdom of God? Mac, it's always a great blessing to talk with you.
Oh, I love it, Larry. Thank you for having me again.
Well, you know, I really enjoy these detailed studies. I love series. In fact, when I preach at church, I generally like to do series. I think it's a good idea for the church. And instead of giving the congregation a smattering of this and that and a smattering of something else, I like to deal very thoroughly with a biblical subject. And that's exactly what you do in these DVD series.
Yes, sir. I actually rehearsed this by teaching this in my Sunday school class. I think this one took the better part of 6 months to teach, so it was quite thorough and quite a challenge.
Well, you know, I think one of the real problems with so many Christians today, even good evangelical Christians, even in good fundamental churches, they just, you know, they have a few pet topics, a few very accessible ideas that make us feel good kind of thing, but the other really big issues, like the kingdom of God, which really is a big issue in the Bible, we're kind of ignorant of that. So I really, really appreciate this. So why should I care, and why should our listeners care about the different views of the kingdom of God?
Well, you know, Larry, that's how we start off this segment with a slide that says, why should I care? Because we have been through several hundred slides, really, as we use a PowerPoint presentation for this. And we've been through several hundred slides of exactly what the Bible says about the kingdom of God. We started back in the Old Testament, went through the teaching of the kingdom in the Old Testament, the teaching of the kingdom in the New Testament. Then we analyzed the things that happened with however you interpreted what the Bible had to say about the kingdom of God and how it leads in different directions. But the real reason why we should care, and when you boil it all down, the teaching of the kingdom of God and the restoration of God's kingdom on earth is really the central teaching of all the Bible. It runs from the Garden of Eden, where God set up his kingdom with Eden as his capital, and Adam was his theocratic administrator. And God's plan was to set up his own family here on earth. And of course, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they lost all of that. And the entire theme of the Bible, if we look at the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, the kings in Israel, we look at the coming of Jesus as Messiah and the teaching in the New Testament, and in the Bible prophecy, the underlying theme is the restoration of the theocratic administrator, the leader of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God as it will come to pass on the entire earth. And so why should we care? We should care because this is all throughout the Bible, and if we miss this point, we're not going to interpret a lot of Scripture properly, and that's really the bottom line.
Well, this idea that you mentioned of restoration, that's so fundamental because things are really broken. I mean, you know, our bodies, our culture, our society, even nature. Nature is at war with man. You know, we have gardens and we got weeds, and we see coronavirus epidemics. We see, well, there's a hurricane now moving up the coast, and all of these things are happening, and so there needs to be restoration. There needs to be a time when God takes back what the devil stole from him.
That's right, and I believe the Bible calls it the times of restitution. And you know, in the book of Romans, the Bible tells us all of nature groans and travails in pain together because of the sin problem, because mankind has turned their backs on God, and they're doing everything possible except looking for the coming of his kingdom.
You know, there are so many Christians today, they kind of look at the Bible in terms of, what does it say about me? How can I get something out of this? How can I get a better job? How can I be happily married? Of course, all those things are really important. But, you know, as I look at your video and as I read the scripture, there's so much that God lays claim to that involves the whole world, all of creation, all of the universe, all of nature, the seas, the cities, the various populations. So, you know, when I think of the kingdom of God, I think of God's total claim, not just on little old me. Of course, that's important. He has a claim on me and he's done so much for me, but his claim on the universe. This is the rule, the reign, the lordship of the King of Kings or the Lord of Lords.
You know, he made it. So in the overall picture, God is king over all of this, if you want to put it that way, because he is the creator. You know, we owe him worship and praise, and worship and praise because of his holiness and his righteousness. But, you know, the Bible says he was the creator of all things. All things were created by him, and for his pleasure they are created. And so thou art worthy, O Lord. So, yeah, you make a pretty good preacher there, Larry.
Well, I do some of it. And that's one of the reasons, you know, why I love the book of Revelation. I know you do, too. We've spoken about it many times. But it's a book of consummation. Things are not finished. And, you know, so many times we humans are so frail. We start a project, we work hard, then we, you know, kind of get stale, we lose interest, and so on and so forth. God doesn't work that way. What he begins, he will finish. It may take several centuries, several thousand years, but he's the king, and he's reclaiming all of the universe.
Absolutely.
Well, Mac, what does the Bible teach about the next world kingdom?
Well, that's a real important point, because we have to understand that when you study the book of Daniel, you see that in chapter 2 of Daniel, we read about the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had of the image with the head of gold, the breastplate of silver, and so forth on down. And we come down to the feet of iron with 10 toes of iron mixed with miry clay. And the Bible itself, God, in his inspired word, told the prophet Daniel, and Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. And there another kingdom will come after you that will rule the entire world of silver. And we see before the book of Daniel is over that that's the kingdom of Medo-Persia. And then we also see in the book of Daniel, after the Medo-Persian Empire, the king of Greece would arise. And so we see these world empires laid out all throughout here, the prophecy of Daniel and in the word of God. And so we see these kingdoms laid out, and we come down to the Roman Empire, And ever since the Roman Empire fell, there have been men and nations that have tried to rule the world. I mean, Adolf Hitler wanted to rule the world. Genghis Khan wanted to rule the world. Many times it's been tried and it's failed. The last major empire on the face of the earth was the Roman Empire. And since then, there has not been another empire that ruled the entire known world. But there is one coming, and we know that from reading the book of Daniel, from studying the book of Revelation, and from studying the other prophets in context, that there will come a time when a man that we know in the Bible as Antichrist will rise up and rule the entire world, and all the world will, as the Bible says in Revelation, and all the world will go after the beast. And so what we have to understand is the next world empire, according to the Word of God, is the kingdom of Antichrist. And so we have to be careful when we look at globalistic efforts that are going on in the world today, that the world is trying to produce a world leader that is anti-Jesus Christ and anti-God.
Right, and we see that in many forms. I think there are those who are trying to make an Islamic caliphate. There are atheists, like the president of China at the present time. My, with all the technology and the surveillance at his fingertips. And, you know, it's so amazing to me that during the Wuhan virus, when many, many Chinese people were dying and there was a major problem there, do you know what the government was doing? Destroying churches. Now, I mean, that's what we're talking about. That's I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but I think he, of all the world rulers, he fits the mold more perfectly than even Mao, because back in 1949, Mao didn't have all the technology, but President Xi has all the technology now. You know, they're even taking little children in Christian families out of the home. They're taking these little kids. They don't want them to be raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and they're putting them in homes with an atheist family, an atheist mom and dad. So what you're talking about, there is just a war of monstrous proportions against Almighty God. And, you know, I look at these people who do these things. They're not very smart, because if they looked at history, they would realize there hasn't been a single dictator who has lasted in the long run. They're all human. They all die. They all have cancer. They all have belly rot. They all are assassinated. And it's kind of like the criminal. He says, well, I've got the perfect crime. I've got the perfect setup. I'm going to rob a bank of $1 million and I'm going to make it. And he doesn't. These people are idiotic.
That's right. You know, when you think about it, especially modern day dictators, I'm sure Mussolini didn't figure on ending the way he ended. I'm sure Adolf Hitler didn't figure on ending the way he ended. And, you know, you look at those examples, and so many of them are brutally assassinated and done away with instead of gaining their world empire. And in the case of China, whether or not China wants to rule the world or just control it, I don't know what their end game is. But it's certainly at minimum of controlling the entire world, if not ruling it.
Yes, and they have stolen so much intelligence material, intellectual material. I mean, you know, the Confucius Institutes, I think President Trump has banned them, and TikTok and all of these things. There is this malware that's embedded when these countries, when America has a business or something in China, the way they pay their taxes, there's some kind of a bug attached to it. I mean, this is draconian. It's unbelievable. But there is a kingdom coming, and it's a kingdom of righteousness and glory and grace, and I'm excited about that.
So am I. So am I.
Well, I love to read the Bible because I know in the long run, we win.
That's right. That's right. That's the good part. But, you know, if you want to go back, the problem is that so many people, and when you go back into the 19th century, we saw men that were so well-intentioned that were trying to build the kingdom of God on earth. You know, you look at people during the reign of Queen Victoria. You know, when the sun never set on the British Empire, so many citizens of the British Empire literally thought that they were building God's kingdom on earth. And you had people like Cecil Rhodes, Lord Milner, those people all had this idea of they wanted to build God's kingdom. And it was under those auspices that the Federal Council of Churches was formed. And of course, the Federal Council was the predecessor to the National and World Council of Churches. And so you had within all that the rise of modernism. And then you had other Brits in the 20th century, Lionel Curtis, that through his interpretation of the Sermon on the Mount, he equated the vision of a world society in which the problem of nationalism would be a thing of the past with the realization of the kingdom of God on earth. Wow. I mean, you know, and I know that we really aren't taught this in our school system, in our history books. But you get these people that are lauded as heroes like John Foster Dulles and folks like that that come along that all they were doing was working for a one-world government and a one-world system. And unfortunately, what they were really promoting outside of the will of God was the kingdom of Antichrist. And that's really the big issue.
Well, we've got a lot more about, especially about what you're just talking about, and we're looking forward to having you back for another program.
Sounds good.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners about our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the new DVD titled, Are We Building the Kingdom of God? Or a One World Religion Under a New World Order? You can have a copy of this must-have DVD for a gift of $20 if you live in the United States and $35 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. That is very quick and easy. You can also place your order by writing to us. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. Don't forget to put your prayer request or Bible question or comment in with your order. And you can order anytime online on our website at swrc.com. While you're online, please visit our Facebook page. And if you like it, you know what to do. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Pastor Rodney Howard Brown was one of the first high-profile pastors to be arrested for defying a county ban on large gatherings. He was arrested on March the 30th, 2020, in Tampa, Florida. Christian attorney Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel was able to secure his release on the grounds that the church was being held to higher standards than other public access areas.
In a taped interview after his release, Howard Brown stated, quote, I talked about what is coming for more than 10 years. The people in our church are ready for this. Therefore, nothing of what is happening now is a surprise to me. Every god of America has fallen. Sports have fallen. Hollywood has fallen. Television shows canceled. Even the god of some megachurches fell. These churches are empty today. I have warned for years that churches will disappear in one night, close quotes.
Howard Brown continued, and I quote him, I hold in my hands the Rockefeller Organization document, which was published in 2010. Here is the script that we met even today. What is happening now is not an accident. Everything was planned. Bill Gates talked about the pandemic 4 years ago. The document is called Scenario for Future Technology and International Development, 53 pages. It says that the result of this scenario will be 20% of the world's population will be infected. People's mobility will be blocked. Airports will be closed. Sports events will be canceled. Shops closed. Theaters closed. Churches astounded. A pandemic will produce shortages, including disinfectants and toilet paper. If people refuse the vaccine, they will not be allowed to travel. Close quotes.
You might not agree with Howard Brown's assessment of things or about his theology, but it is easy to see how things like this could easily happen. That's why it was no surprise to hear former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown call for a, quote, temporary world organization, a one-world government of sorts, to fight the COVID-19 pandemic.
From distant reports of a virus in Wuhan, China, to worldwide upheaval, to the point that hundreds of millions of people are fearing for their lives or wondering how they're going to be able to pay their bills, it's easy to see why many are promising sure fixes and making hasty decisions. Though 2020 has been a difficult year, there are many things that we can learn from this.
First, nothing is guaranteed in this world. Not our next breath, not the future of a nation. Everything can be shaken. One day we are thinking about what sporting event we should watch, and the next day we have serious doubts about our ability to pay the bills. Secondly, God can suddenly get the attention of the entire world. People who never thought about praying will start to pray. Carnal concerns will be replaced by eternal issues of life and death. Life and death questions will be the uppermost in the minds of many people. Thirdly, the international order can change very quickly, with one nation rising and another collapsing. The balance of power could quickly shift. Strong economic trends could be suddenly reversed. Fourthly, we can very easily envision the day when the world will have to choose between the true Christ and the Antichrist, between God's order and the world's order, between a life of liberty in the spirit or a life of bondage in the flesh. Let's face it, if COVID-19 could bring about such rapid changes around the world, what of a much more serious crisis, such as a meteor strike or a nuclear detonation, either as an act of war or by accident?
But here is something else that is true also. The present darkness is a setup for the light. The sickness is the divine setup for the healing. The current crisis is the divine setup for the church to arise and shine and have a lasting worldwide impact. We must seize the moment before it passes. We must milk it to the full for the glory of God. Friend, does your heart bear witness to my words? Are you ready to follow Jesus with heartfelt commitment? I want to challenge each and every one of our listeners. This is the time to rise up in faith. Souls are perishing. What is your response?
FreedomNewsUSA.com, August 2, reprinted a Breitbart column that further exposes the empty-headed thinking of Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democrat from New York. The previous Thursday, AOC took some of her followers on a tour of the U.S. Capitol building and pointed out the colonialism represented in the statuary within the Capitol. She denounced the presence of a statue honoring Father Damien, who ministered to lepers and died of the dreaded disease, as a remnant of white supremacist culture. Even when we select figures to tell the stories of colonized places, it is the colonizers and settlers whose stories are told, and virtually no one else, Ocasio-Cortez said, specifically pointing out Hawaii's Father Damien. It's not Queen Liliuoko Kalani, the only queen regent of Hawaii who is immortalized and whose story is told, she continues. It's Father Damien. Ocasio-Cortez continued, "This isn't to litigate each and every individual statue, but to point out the patterns that have emerged among the totality of them in who we are taught to deify in our nation's capital. Virtually all men, all white, and mostly both. This is what patriarchy and the white supremacist culture looks like." Writing for Catholic news agency, however, Matt Hadro reported that Dallas Carter, a native Hawaiian and a catechist for the Diocese of Honolulu, observed Saint Damien of Molokai as a hero to the people of Hawaii. Father Damien gave his life ministering to the leprosy colony at Kalaupapa Peninsula. Any Hawaiian here who is aware of their history, which most Hawaiians are, would absolutely, Catholic or not, defend the legacy of Damien as a man who was embraced by the people and who is a hero to us because of his love for the Hawaiian people, he said. We did not judge him by the color of our skin, he added. We judged him by the love he had for our people. He noted as well that Liliuokalani, who was a princess at the time, made Father Damien a knight commander of the Royal Order of Kalakaua in 1881, celebrating his efforts in alleviating the distresses and mitigating the sorrows of the unfortunate. As Breitbart News reported, the left-wing National Catholic Reporter recently declared abortion supporter Ocasio-Cortez to be the future of the Catholic Church. In an op-ed Monday, NCR's executive director Heidi Schlumpf praised Representative Ocasio-Cortez as a rock star millennial leader of the far left who grew up Catholic and even wrote how her faith influences her views on public policies such as mass incarceration. As I listened to her stunning speech on the House floor last week, I was struck by how often it referenced Catholic views, Ms. Schlumpf wrote. In addition to supporting abortion on demand, Ocasio-Cortez is also demanding that American taxpayers, regardless of whether they morally oppose the procedure, pay for abortion through an appeal of the long-standing Hyde Amendment. End of the article. Catholics listening to this program should be outraged at the stance being taken in their name by those on the socialist communist left. Ocasio-Cortez should be exposed for the fraud she is by Catholics and all other lovers of freedom everywhere.
Just remember, no matter who is president, Jesus is king. Don't forget our special offer. The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. You can write to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And visit us online at swrc.com. When we offer an item for $30, we do not get to keep $30. We have to purchase these items we offer, which cost us about half of that. Then we have to pay the radio stations to play our program. We know you can get these items we offer cheaper at someplace else. But the little money we do get to keep goes for purchasing new items, paying radio stations, wages, utility bills, computers, and all the rest that keeps this ministry on the air. So when you look for a cheaper price online, remember the great program you just heard and say to yourself, I'll support Southwest Radio Church because I enjoy their messages on Bible prophecy and Bible teaching. Thanks for being with us today. Make plans to be with us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Mac Dominic wrap up this series on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.